Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. KFUO is a listener-supported radio ministry that needs your support to continue. When you partner with KFUO, you are proclaiming Christ worldwide. November 30th is Giving Tuesday, a day that encourages you to give back in whatever ways you can. Giving Tuesday presents a perfect time each year for you to support your favorite nonprofit organizations, including KFUO Radio. To give to KFUO, call 314-996-1518 or text KFUO to the number 41444 or give online at kfuo.org.
The reading for this day is recorded in the second chapter of Genesis, beginning at the 15th verse. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Genesis 2 brings us into a quiet yet powerful conversation with the King of the universe. Perhaps as I read this text, you may have felt an echo of Elijah in the cave. You have earthquakes, whirlwind, and fire, only to be humbled by the whisper of the Almighty. This text intends to evoke such a response, so powerful a response, it is sublime and yet incredibly comforting. God cares deeply for you. As we end the church year and move into Advent, we see the perfect intent of the Lord God. The pre-fall of humanity, the need for Jesus as that great comfort in your life. So God speaks. Adam obeys. The lesson for today ends with God giving Adam a wonderful helper, and Moses at the very end ascribes meaning to the whole event. Genesis 2 contains passages that echo through Scripture. They're quoted by Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Luther lectured on Genesis 2 and expounded at great length on the doctrine of God and man. The original intent of humanity as evidenced in pre-fall, Luther spent many, many a time talking about and writing. He also alludes in this passage to the two kingdoms doctrine. Wonderful and necessary as we understand government and its role and government's limitations. He would go on, Luther, at great length to describe the freedom of Adam, his ability to walk the earth if he so choose and tend the garden in Eden. He would go on to describe what his children would be like, abundant and brilliant. Eve would have no pain in childbirth. The love of Adam and Eve would have had for each other would have been boundless and absolutely amazing. It appears Luther ascribed to Adam as the greatest theologian, the greatest lawyer, and the greatest medical doctor. Genesis 2 lands in our catechism as a core belief on human sexuality. The creation of woman from man is often cited in confirmation instruction. I use this passage regularly in marriage counseling and pre-marriage counseling. I use it to center two individuals as they enter marriage or struggle with the challenges of being husband and wife. Curious how the topic of the creation of woman from man in the public square is often voraciously contested. It's fought over. It's despised. And in the end, with a banner planted on the hill of God's holy word, male and female stand as created by the eternal God and redeemed by Christ the crucified. On the one hand, this text is straightforward. It is simple and easy to follow. Adam is placed in the garden by God. Adam is given guidance, pure law, but loving due to perfection in paradise. Here is what you can do and what you cannot do, Adam. Now, as if in the mind of God, which is an impossibility, it is still a wondrous reality of this text. Out of loving care for man, God declares it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. We in our modern, sophisticated era of technology try to find alternatives to beat loneliness. The Lord God didn't give Adam a pet, be it a dog or a cat, as some recommend that we give to the lonely. The Lord God did not give to man a Zoom account, Facebook, or Twitter. The King of the universe and author of all life did not recommend a regime of exercise and medication, which can be of some benefit. But we know loneliness can be horrible, devastating, and deadly. We may never know the full butcher's bill that death due to loneliness has brought to those during this COVID pandemic. So as we ponder modernity to cure loneliness, we consider fallen humanity and pandemic while remunerating on the utterances of God. Scripture takes on what I call at this point a holy digression. Verse 19. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. It appears at first glance that the dialogue is moving away from the topic at hand, which is loneliness, and it goes back to Adam's purpose. But they're really one in the same. Identity. And your identity. We take a break from the trajectory of God's thoughts concerning loneliness, and we return briefly to the command. As if God were to say in the more colloquial way, Adam, Adam, my crown of creation, give every living creature a name. Let that creature know that they are subordinate to you. Adam, perfect and pre-fall, obey the intent. Birds and fish and dogs and elephants and horses, go Adam, good job. Now as Adam concludes the naming, no suitable helper is found. And then the Lord God performs surgery. A rib is removed, closing the incision, and woman is created. God brings her to the man. The response of Adam here is nothing short of amazing. This is the first time a human speaks in Holy Scripture. This is the first record of a man speaking in history. What he said is truly astounding and wonderful. Now think of this for a second. We could have heard Adam speak the names of the animals, like I surmised. He did not. We could hear Adam maybe dialogue with God. There's no such rendition in Scripture. So this is remarkable. Both the form of Adam's speech, which is poetry, and the content of the words are pre-fall brilliant. The pastor who taught me the Christian faith expressed to our confirmation class in this tone. And a bit of backstory about my confirmation and understanding the importance of what pastor had taught us. I went through catechism in the early 1970s. The sexual revolution was in high gear. The hippie with its anti-war sentiments was entering middle age, and the nation was deeply divided on the Vietnam War. My church was in a suburb of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, the epicenter of anti-war riots, a hotbed of radicalism, protests ranging from flower power to nuclear power. My pastor loved this passage. Pastor wanted to make sure we understood fully Adam's response. So as we were going through our catechism, and we arrived at the text of Genesis 2, verses 23, we were told to read it together. So with muffled voices sounding kind of flat and bored, we nonetheless read these beautiful words. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is where my pastor got really excited. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. My pastor taught our confirmation class that when God presented Eve to Adam, Adam was so very happy. With exultant joy, Adam broke out in a song. Adam couldn't help it. Now, quoting my pastor as best as my memory allows, this is what he said. He said, boys and girls, Adam, looking at Eve for the first time, just made him sing. The Lord God presents her to Adam and says to Adam, what do you think? Kids, get out your pencils and write in the margin of Genesis 2, even if it's a borrowed Bible, even if you brought your family heirloom, or your study Bible, write these words, quote, Adam said, wow, end quote. In the context of the most quarrelsome time in American history, where violent protests against government were rampant, identity confusion among individuals was growing, sexual revolution starting to really take its horrible flight, and drug use was running on steroids, God's word still makes it clear. The Lord God is the giver of all good things to mankind, to all humanity, including order, purpose, a perfect helper, a right and apt one for each other. So as we live and breathe in our current era, despite all the things that swirl around us, the word of God is crystal clear. It is the Lord God's plan for order, purpose, and a perfect helper. But there's an added thing from Genesis. This thing is called a need for redemption. Their time in the garden is unknown to us, but there was the fall. Sin came into the world. Death was a consequence of sin, sickness, failure, and being placed outside the garden. The holy speculation of life in paradise is now lost to us. Only now we know of our sinful nature, the broken commandments, the inability to obey the Lord God, relationships that fail. This is where Christ Jesus comes in. He fulfills the law. Death on the cross established righteousness for those who embrace it by the Holy Spirit. And this is stunning. This is not just a story about the first man, the first woman, the first marriage, nor a mystical story with no heavenly meaning. It is your history, and it's my history. It is a heavenly story, a creation event born in mystery, the mystery of God's love, to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, to send forth his son Jesus as someone who loves you so much, he stretched out his arms on a cross intended for us. It is the mystery of it all, that the Lord God loves us and reminds us of the promise of paradise once lost by the old Adam, now given again by the new Adam. Now, there's much holy speculation about the garden, the tree, the naming of animals, the formation of Eve, the various meanings of the phrase, naked and feeling no shame. Of course, the Holy Spirit blessed commentary of Moses. That was Moses' words, the two becoming flesh. But the Holy Spirit said, yes, this is true, which extends through Scripture, and these are important words. But here's what the Holy Spirit, through Jesus wants us to know. Nested in the narrative of the Lord God, Adam and Eve, it points to the cross. Here we have the incarnate Jesus, a child born modestly in Bethlehem, promised by God, proclaiming that he is the way and the truth and the life, and we see the great Redeemer healing and calling all to him. And then he volunteers up his life, suffering and dying as a sacrifice for all mankind and bridging the imperfect, the fallen world, the sinner man with heaven, with paradise, the perfect, the holy. Jesus, God's one and only Son, our Savior, came to restore our broken relationship with God, the promise of eternal life, the resurrection from the dead, and how wise and wonderful is our great God. So as the church year closes and gives rise to the season of Advent, seek the forgiveness of Christ the King who suffered on a cross, his blood for your righteousness. For Jesus' sake, your forgiveness is real and sure and restores to life everlasting. This is what places us back in paradise again. In Jesus' name, amen.